past Bistaf was Daf Samach Tes, towards the end of the sixth parak in Meseches Ksubis. We can start from the very top of the Omud. Zolting or Tole Rav, the Rebbe Ben Yechiti. Rashi says what this means is Sholach Loi Yiger Shloimim. He was sending him a letter, Yiger Shloimim, just a personal greeting letter. The Tola Shelezu Ben Ashitim, and he included this Shaila in the letter, the following Shaila. Taisis brings from Menachananel, Shailas Habe Shalom, see on Taisis on top Taisis. Shailas Habe Shalom, that actually the purpose of the letter that he sent him was halacha correspondence. Shailas Habe Shalom, Vahoyo Igris Tefura Zulazu, Ubain Oisen Tfiris Kosav Shailazu. So Ben Chiti means referred to Ben the tefiris, the stitches of the different pages, I guess, was this shaila. Kodesh Pius Ben Ashitin, Chenem Yisham Ben Zokin Tolo Ben Ishitayim. Okay, it's exactly what the Matzis Hadvarim was as far as the letter was concerned. Okay, so this is just some background. Takatak and Vissen, why the Gemara includes this. There must be some alimut from that. According to Rashi, you know, we can understand that the limit is that even though this wasn't the purpose of the letter, but he included Divrei Torah, Ashaylo.
I heard that, or I read that they weren't allowed to write Torah Shebaal Peh.
Oh yeah,
and that this was he wanted to write a question. This was Torah Shebaal Peh that he was writing, but so he just sort of camouflaged it in a casual letter.
Oh really? Uh-huh. Very nice. You read that someplace?
Yeah, when I was learning with Elio yesterday. You mentioned it, and I think it's in the notes also.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, very nice. Okay. Is Zokimas, what was the Shail? Ho'achim she'shibdu mahu. Ho'achim she'shibdu mahu. And what does this mean? Ho'achim she'shibdu. So, it's mevuyer. And as we go on to the Gemara, what this refers to over here is that Achim, which the father dies, they yashin the nechse ha'am, and they transferred the nechosim, the part of the nechosim, we'll see in which way, but they transferred to a third party. And the more shaila is the shaila whether the schus of the bonus they could collect from those nechosim. Sheshibdu, the word sheshibdu over here, it seems to be used in a little different context than we usually use it. Maybe that could cause a little confusion. Because really, the question over here is whether these nechazim are meshubit to the daughters, that the daughters have the right to collect from these nechazim, which are out of the hands of the yisoyim. So in this context, lashon shibdu means that the achim they gave over the rights on these nechazim to a third party, either through machiro or through mashkin. I think Mara talks about. Now, which zchus of the bas are we discussing that he's asking a question whether the bonus have the right, the power within their schus to make their collection from the chosim shubadim, from the chosim which retrains it to a third rishus. In Hemshchag, more and more talks about parnosa and mizoynis. From the Hemshchag asugya by Yossi, we said asugya really a sugya of parnosa. The din of mizoynis is pretty much mefurish. So it would seem like the Iker Shaila really was the Shaila of Parnosa. And that's what, in Tosfos, when he brings it, seems the Shaila was the Shaila really of Parnosa. That's really what the question was. Which is also a little wondrous, because if you remember the Gemara before, the Gemara before Rav Huna said over a memra that parnosa eno ketnai ksuba, a difference between parnosa and tnai ksuba, and the Gemara wanted to say that possibly what his intention, the chilik was, is that Parnosa is tafim mishabdi, and tnai ksuba is li tafim mishabdi. The Gemara before. Remember that Gemara? That Gemara won't say the difference. And that Gemara says, well, my kamashmul and my sim chol yoyim. So Gemara, that's posh, of course that's so. So it's a little interesting that the Gemara over here right now is clearing a shayla about this. Not only that, but we're going to see that there's a sheet to hold that you can't. Right? Okay. Fine. With that said, just to put out that question, some other chazes put together these two dafim. Even though each daf, you know, it's a daf a week, But you know, we hope that the dafim don't stay behind the walls of each week. Right? They have to be followed through.
What does that mean? Parnosa tarf.
Mishabdi.
What does that mean?
Parnosa in the sugya primarily refers to nidunya. Nidunya.
The dowry.
Right. Yeah. The dowry. Right. Sometimes it's referred to as isur nechosim, which is the amount that the daughter has the right to in the dowry. Okay?
One tenth.
Right. Without going into the details of that. Right. Now that right that she has is that when the father dies from the nechosim that he left over, she has the right. Even though the bonim are yorish and nechseha, but she has rights in those nechosim toward for this distant dunya. And the question over here is that if the son sold the nechosim, whether she tarfi means whether she could collect, she could
litroth.
Right.
So to grab it, to take it.
Right. Okay.
So, parnasa tarfi mimishabdi. Is that that she could take?
Right. Suppose the tnai ksuba not.
Yeah.
Right. So once you're in that Gemara, the reason why we went back to that Gemara was because the Gemara right over there says that. That's poshut. That's poshut. That's a simple thing. And if we're trying to figure out what someone is coming to say, someone has to tell us a piece of news. That's not what he's saying, right? Because there's no. It's ma'isim b'chol yom. Of course, you know, everyone knows about. Everyone knows that that's the halacha. Yeah. And the argument over here seems to be clearing a shailum. Tolei Rav al Rebbe, right? Tolei Rav al Rebbe wasn't. Rav was not so sure about this, and we'll see in Hemshach HaGemara that there's a man d'Omar that even holds not like that. Okay, that was the ha'ora. That was the ha'ora. You know, if the question is good by you, okay. You know, if it's confusing, then we could just leave it in brackets. Okay. Akoponim, he sent him this shayla. Yosef Rav Chiya Kamei. So when the letter reached Rebbe, and Rebbe opened the letter and he read it, Rav Chiya was sitting there by Rebbe. Omar lei mochrei oy mashkinoi. So look, Rashi, that Rav Chiya asked Rebbe when Rebbe read it, you know, this shayla from Rav, what kind of transaction was done to transfer it to the third party over here? This shibdu. Was it sold to a third party, or was it given as a mashkin? Mashkin, collateral for a loan. Omale manafkamino ben moch b'mashkin misilun parnosim. On that, Rebbe said that it really doesn't make any difference. They both have the same din. The din is moitzin. That's the psak to this shailum. Therefore, parnoso is moitzin, ve'ein moitzin l'mizoynis. And he spoke out this difference over here between, even though mizoynis is ein moitzin, but parnoso is moitzin. Zok Rashi. Let's just see the Rashi. Over have Yosef Rav Chiya Kamei de Rebbe, kishabosh she'elu zulafonov. Rav Chiya was sitting there when the shayla came to Rebbe. Omale Rav Chiya, mai shibdu dikomi boile. When Rav spoke about shibdu, what was his kavono? In what way was it shibdu? Which over here means that it was given over to a third party, the power of these in these nechasim given over to the third party. It was a mochrei or mashkinoi. Fine. Zok the Gemara. Okay, so as far as the psak that Rebbe issued on this, Rebbe said that I don't know what he meant, but whatever either of the two possibilities, the din is that they might see him. Zotim of a Rav. The Rav who sent the letter, he mochrei kamei boile nichtev lei mochrei. He mashkinoi kamei boile nichtev lei mashkinoi. On that asks the Gemara that what was Taka Rav's intention? Rav sent to Shaila, right? He had something in mind. And so why wasn't he clear in what he had in mind? And for the Gemara, Rav Tavai Kami Boile. Now Rav really had a Shaila on both. He had a Shaila on both. Both of them. Visovar. And he thought to himself, if I write the shayla with a mechira, and as he has a shayla both, and he wants to have the answer to both. So if I limit the shayla to a mochrei, hanicha yisholach li demaitzin, then I'll have an answer to both of the cases that I want to know. If the answer is meitzin, because then kol shkein mashkinoi, then for surely mashkinoi, which means like this. Let's see what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that as far as what the halacha should be in these two cases, there's more of a svarim to say to be moitzi by mashkin than by mechira. So therefore, if the tshuva was mechira, you might see there's a koshkin to mashkin. But if we just discuss mashkin, that they might see that they have the rights to collect from a mashkin, then we wouldn't know what the halacha is by
mechira.
Right. Now, the difference over here is that as mechira is something which was the fields are totally in the rishus of the other person. That's what the mechir accomplishes out of the rishus of the yisayimim, and a mashkin is that essentially belongs to the loive. The mashkin, the loive gives the mashkin to the malve. The malve has certain rights on the mashkin depending on what type of mashkin it is, but the mashkin essentially belongs to the loive, and once the chayv is paid off, it goes back to the loiv. Right? So that means that therefore Mashkin, that even after the Yisraelim gave it over to the third party as a Mashkin, they still retain an ownership in the Mashkin itself. So therefore when we're talking about the Banas collecting, so it's a bigger chiddush to say that they're collecting from Mechira, because Mechira is totally out of the hands of the Yisraelim. Whereas a Mashkin, that the Yisraelim essentially still own it. Another person has rights to it. But that's what the Gemara means over here, what the Gemara is making a kol shekein. Okay, we'll speak about this maybe a little bit. But just this is the Ketuvos HaGemara. So again, the cheshbon of the Gemara is like this, right? That Rav made a cheshbon as follows. I really have a shot about both, right? And so if I would write a specific case, then I might not get the answer to both of my shilas. Because if I send the shilas as a mechira and they answer me mitzian, then an echnami, it's a kol shekein that by mashkene. However, yisholach li ein mitzian, akadi mashkene kami boili. But if I send the shilas in this way of mechira and the answer is ein mitzian, so that might be because it's totally out of the rishus of the yisraelim, but a mashkin, which is in the rishus of the, that's some ownership, is still by the yisraelim. Maybe over there would be mitzis. I wouldn't have the answer to that shailam. If I limit the case of the shail to a mashkin, if the answer would be ein mitzin, then there's a koshkin the other way. Even though the ownership is still retained by the Yisraelim, kol shekein mechira. However, yishalach mitzi and akati mochri kami boile. Therefore, ichtev le shibdu. Therefore, I'll write shibdu a stam loshen. The mash mochri, mash mochri, it's mash me both, and that way. I'll get my answer. I get my answer as we saw that Rebbe answered that regardless they had both cases have the same halacha. There's the letter came. Itaka was only clear what it meant, but Rebbe said that it's whatever he's clearing it has one halacha. So that's what guaranteed him to get his answer. Now what's bothering me a question over here, which maybe. Reb Menachem, what he just said before, would answer it. Right? When you learn this Gemara, Yaki, you wonder, like, you know, so why make those things complicated? So just write both. Right? What's the halacha by Mechir? What's the halacha by Mashkin? Like, why was he, you know, was there a problem of ink over here? What was the problem? So according to maybe what Reb Menachem just said before, right, that because of Torah Baal Peh is not supposed to be written down, so that's why he was looking Taka to write as little as possible, and therefore, you know, if it was possible to derive both from one, he would have written the one, and this way he wrote it. He didn't write either, and that's what he felt would guarantee him the answer to both.
But the Talib ben Ashitin you could also answer just on a simple level is that there was a premium on space, is that he only had, you know, a small area to write it, and that's why he had a
telegram.
You know, right, that's how he had to pinpoint the you know, what to get the most bang out of the shiva in the least amount of space. Right?
Okay, passively.
The note here says the Maram Shib suggests that the prohibition against writing Torah Baal Peh was still in effect at the time. Hence, it would have been forbidden to write the inquiry in a normal fashion. That is in continuous lines. So he just.
Well, what's this going? It's going on using the piece on, before.
Yeah, before. Why he wrote it like that, in between the lines.
Okay. Yeah. It's like to just see one more couple of lines. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Echaze v'chaze im oitzim. Rabbi Yochanan says differently. Rabbi Yochanan Shita is not like Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan says Echaze v'chaze im oitzim. That Parnosa really has the same din as Mizoinis, and just like Mizoinis is not Moitzin, so to Parnosa is not Moitzin. And the Mashmois Hadvorim over here would be that there is no difference between Mechira and Mashkin, and both are a Moitzin. Not only Mechira, but Mashkin also.
Obviously, it was a Havamina, I think there should be a difference, right?
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. Now, the din of Nidunya, Parnos Limura calls it. Kipshutai, it's mivur in the Gemara that the father himself, there's no obligation on that. There's maybe a suggestion, might be even a basis in Psukim for such a thing, but it's not more than a suggestion to him. And not only that, but it's mivunimor that if he explicitly expresses that he doesn't want his nechosim after he dies to go to nedunya, then there is no nedunya. This that we're discussing and the Gemara is working with this that the bonis have rights to it. That is the takon lechazal made on the nechse hayosayim. I mean, after he dies. That's when there are rights to the Bas. Now, the Gemara later on talks about what capacity it is. The Gemara really, in Maskanas, the Gemara Kuli Alma, that it's a choiv. That's what this is. So, in Kipshuta, we would think, I mean, what happens is that as soon as he dies, so there is a choiv on that is chal on the nechasim. So even though the yoshim yash in the nechasim, but there's a choiv, just like any other choiv that the father might have on the nechasim, that these nechasim are yash with an obligation, with the right to someone else to collect it, just like it was, just as if the father would have had a choiv. Like the chosin, you know that actually there was a chayv to taka to the father, and then you know the malva didn't collect it, whoever it was, and that chayv is carries through. So over here the chayv is first chal, only after the mises ha'av. But akoparim it's a chayv, right? And the halacha of a chayv, pretty much, is that there's a sheep in the chosin. And you collect from kakoris that are sold away. Truth of the matter is that even Mizoinis really should have had that halacha. And the Gemara says that the Mishnah says that the reason why that bonus or amon bonus the din Mizoinis is not collected from nechasim mishubadim. Is because of it's less like kitzvah, right? I actually mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. Less like kitzvah. So the point in that is that the luchos don't know how to be careful to make sure that they left over fields to take care of that chayiv, and that's why Chazal were mafkia the shibud and they can't collect from that to protect the luchos. And like Rashi told us before that. that the dinner of Nadunya is like kitzvah, and that's why the halacha is different. That the dinner of Parnoso functions like a regular chayiv, which it could be tafri from a shavti. But as we're saying, you see in the sugya, that's not so poshut, right? Rav was mistapik about the shayla, Rabbi Yochanan Taka holds not like that. So this needs a little bit explanation. Why Taka? What's the makom sofik? Why does Rabbi Yochanan, let's say, he holds on the other side of things? He holds that Yitaka can't. Why Taka would that be so? Right, this is a question to see in the Meforshim what they say. We could possibly just open up an avenue. if we discussed that in as far as the din of parnasa, it's a machlekes. You have to make the cheshbonis on your own. Can't rehash the whole sugya before machlekes tanoim. But I mean, there's such an amount of isur nechosim, wherever that might present itself, machlekes tanoim, about this. There's Shitas Tanakam, Rameir. I'm sorry, Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda is that we work with the Oimidas of the Father, what he would have given. Now, I mean, Shmuel in the previous sugya Paskin, the Parnosa Shom Bi'av, Rashi says over there, Kifi Oimen Oshonu became Bi'av, Vachon, Oikamson, actually the Rashi on the Mishnah, Ben Shu Isser, Ben Shu Hu Pochus, Ben Shu Hu Yoyser. I remember we discussed that in Machalik and Hashem. Rashi says that according to the Shita that you estimate the das of the father, so it could be more than an Isser Nechosim. The Rebbeinu Chananel, the Tosis brought on the Noman Beis, held not more, not to exceed. And really one of the Rais was the Halacha of Kitzva, right? That the difference between Parnosa and Mizoinis, why one is moitzi from Mishabdi and one's not, is because of Kitzva. And that was the Ha'ora on Shitas Rashi, that if we could be Oymed the Das of the Father even more than the Isur Nechasim, so then it should be Adav Shiyesh Le'Kitzva. Then it should not be Adav Shiyesh Le'Kitzva. Right? That was the Ha'ora. And if it's Ein Le'Kitzva, so then the same Tikkun Olam should apply that you should not be able to be tired from a Shabti.
More means more than 10%? Giving more than 10%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we're opening over here is a Pesach over here for this other tzad, right? Akoponim, that Shitas Rashi, that the Omer Das Nefal could be for more than the Isur Nechosim. So that really would seem to be that it becomes in the Kitzvah. That's really what the Tosfos is working with as a raya against the Shitas Rashi. Now, whatever the answer to that is, however, that might be good for the issue over here, right? Whatever, Rabbeinu Chananel, right? And that's Kipshutoi. It would seem like that makes it an Ein Le'Kitzvah. If that will be, then it should follow the Tikkun Olam, should be applicable to it. So what we just did was that we opened up a possibility where Rabbi Yochanan is coming from, or maybe the Shaila of Rav is coming from, that maybe Nedunya has a din of Ein Le'Kitzvah, and therefore it should have the same halacha as Mizoinis because of Tikkun HaOlam. Now,
I mean, that would be good for Rabbeinu Chananel. For Rashi, not so good, I assume, right?
I mean, even in Rashi, right, we could work that, because even though Rashi's working at least with the MS, right, that he holds that, right?
But then, I'm sorry, maybe I'm misunderstanding. The way I was understanding is you were saying that this same machlokas between the Rishonim, between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, is the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yochanan. Whether you can do more. Rabbi Yochanan would hold you can do more, so in lo kitzvah, and therefore you can't be gova.
So I wasn't saying that. I was talking in Rashi, and what I meant to say was that according to Rashi, apparently there are two ways how to understand it, right? Rabbeinu Chananel says that according to you, Rashi, then it's in the kitzvah, right? Rashi says, no. Even according to what I'm saying, it's still considered the actual kitzvah. Oh. Right, so that's really where I'm going. Let's see what Tais
says. Some afternoon.
Yeah. Remember now, what does Tais say on that? Yeah.
Excuse me, I have to go early today. Okay.
Do you match Leah?
Sorry, I have to go.
Well, Aleph from the base?
It's Nun on the base.
Yeah.
Right? Tosfos is by the.
The
first, lines. Yeah, right. intermediate size line, the first one over there. The Eish Lahavi Raya, the Rav is the Behed Yekrab Yechonon, Beperek Mitzias Ha'ishon, V'Ko'omar Rebbe, Krab Yehud, I'm sorry. Right, V'Ko'omar Rebbe, Bahi Shmait, Panos Atarf Mishablim Zonis, Vishm Zonis Einon Ktsuvim. Upanoso make it kaitzo. Right, that's the Morris. That's what we discussed. Right, panoso is kaitz. Vim iso de lohoisef alisin uchosem nami shomim biav imke panoso nami eno kitsuvo. Avol im shomim im ein shomim elo lifchais misin uchosem nicho af bish eno kitsuvo lemato kibin del mailo mi yesh kitsuvo yuchelim halkuches li zohir. So if you look at in the bottom line, Tosfos says, "Avol parnosa yesh lo kitzvo she'efshel lukuchis levar hadvom al yebezin v'losum daito yishal av bein lemayla bein lemata." Right. So that's the issue over there. The ktsuvim, does ktsuvim need to have taka a cap, or it's sufficient the fact that you could figure out what it'll be, right? Even though it's not there is no set number that he could that we're limited to. Right? So that's.
Wouldn't you have to do this anyway? Meaning, if he's got a daughter, he got one daughter, two daughters, or and they're not getting married right away. They might get married 3 years from now, 5 years from now. But it's not based on the value of the nechassim at the time they get married. It's based on the value of the nechassim at the time of the misa, right? So they would have to make some kind of shuma then, at the time of the Misa, and say, oh, this
is
okay.
Why is it based on the value of the Nechassim at the time of the Misa?
Well, okay, I mean, let's
it's
ask
not.
The question.
The Gemara said, it's 10% of the remainder, 10% of the remainder, if there was 10 daughters.
Well, that's the remainder of what the first daughters took. But no, if the sons send, let's say they spend all the money, the brothers spend all the money in the first...
What's available? No.
Okay.
But why does that make a difference to our discussion here?
Does that make a difference? What does what make a difference?
That we, whether you're a cheshbon now or later.
Oh, because what are they going to do? They're going to wait till she gets married 5 years from now and say, oh, let's see what the nechassim were worth 5 years ago? They don't know what the nechassim were worth 5 years ago. They have to, at the time of the death, they have to see what are the nechassim worth. Then first daughter is going to get this amount. The second daughter is going to get this amount. Then when they come to get married, and they've got a shibut from the time of the Misa, right?
Let's hear it out how it would be if you cheshbon then. Would that make any difference?
It's not possible that it's at the time of the death.
Why not?
Because, let's say the guy had money in real estate and the real estate market went down and now it's worth the everything that he had. He was worth $1 million, now he's worth $1,000. I mean, so he can't give, we can't make them pay $100,000. There was a crash in the market. You have to base it on what they have now in the estate. It can't be based on what it was then.
Well, again, the
shibud would be on the carcass.
That's right. Huh? The Rambam seems to hold that way. There's a different question: whether it goes all on the chasim and the value, or whether it goes on the karka. That's a good question, also. But it might be right. It might be 10% of the actual karka, and it goes down. I hear your question.
I mean, that's different, though. That if the sons did something that caused it to. They sold it or whatever, and now
because I mean, well, let's say we're saying that the daughters can go after the lekuchos. Which lekuchos are we talking about? We're talking about lekuchos that bought the land. Let's talk about mechira. Forget about borrowing money. They bought the land from the brothers after the father died.
I think that's the only lekuchos we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about lekuchos who bought it from the father.
Good. Okay.
Because that part of the father, I think kuliyama, everyone agrees he can't collect from. Is that correct, Rabbi Weinstein?
Okay, good. So now that they're going after those lekuchos, okay, if the brothers sold all the land and they spent all the money, and by the time the daughter goes to get married, there is no money, because they sold the land and they spent all the money, then the value is zero, and there's no lekuchos to go after.
If they didn't...
Okay, but according to you, there's no lekuchos to go after, so what's the machlokas? They sold the land, they spent the money. There's no lekuchos to go after, because the value is now zero. And your shaman now, when the girl goes to get married, and the value is zero. So she gets zero, and there's no lekuchos to go after. Elamai, what do you want to say? They sold the land, but they still have the money? All right, so let them pay for the money they have. What do they have to pay for? Why is she going after lekuchos if the brothers have the money?
Yes. So, but what are we heading at?
Okay, fine. Let's go back to the original. This is a side machlokas. Okay. I mean, there's a problem both ways. I guess I just wanted to say we said that the lekuchos aren't going to know the value, right? And because it could be a higher amount. Tosfos answers, oh, because they can go to Beis Din and say, what's the value? You know, what are your shum this father at? Right? What's the value of this father? And then they can put aside that amount, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to say you almost have to do it that way. I mean, you have to value at least the nechassim at the time of the Misa. Now, maybe you want to say, oh, but they valued the nechassim, but they weren't Sham the father. Okay, I hear that. And Tosfos is saying, oh, the lekuchos could go to Beis Din and say, I want you to Sham the father also.
Right, that's the nechassim we're saying here.
Okay, this touches on what we discussed last week, is that anyhow, you have to do some type of evaluation, right? Because you know, a tenth isn't the same for each person, so you have to, right? So it's just a question of the extent of how much you evaluate, like what you said. It's just
Shom Hanachosin, the Mishnah says, regardless, right? Right? I mean, that's definitely that is happening. The question
right.
is whether it's Shom the Daswa of the Av.
Right. So, right. So,
okay. All right. Okay.
So I just wanted to open a direction in that. That lechera would be a place maybe to have two sides on this inyan. Now I was just cheshvening with Chitis Rashi, right? Right, you know, as you can make other cheshbonis, you know, in Reina Chananel, right? You know, and like you're saying, right? You know, maybe that's good for the machlekes over here, but using this idea. We're opening up a tzad for Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yechanan, the reason why he would hold that Eimetzin is taka for the same reason as Mizoyin, is because it's a Dovah She'en LeKitzvah. Right? That's what we open, nothing like that. However, However, what we need to know is this other point that you stressed, which is right in the Gemara, that the Gemara you see clear has a possibility in Rav Shaila that the possibility could have been a chiluk between the two, a difference between mecher and mashkin. Now l'chayra, if the issue is an issue of kitzva and the kitzva taken ha'olam, right? I mean, l'chayra it should be all the same. Right, it should be all the same. Right, so in the svar that we explained right now, maybe that'll explain Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, who holds, right, that you know, bein mecher bein mashkin, it's the halacha is emaitzin because of tikkun ha'olam. But if we wanted to explain this possibility in the Gemara that you would be maitzin for mashkin and not maitzin for mecher, right, that will need an explanation, because if you're not maitzin for mecher because of tikkun ha'olam, so is there any reason to be mechalik in the tikkun ha'olam, right, between the two? The Gemara, right, and the way where Rashi explains that the difference between these two things really sounds like in the power that you have with an achosim or. And the sfot lechalik over here would sound more like an intrinsic difference, and the question is how strong is the power of the bonus to be meitzin achosim, which are out of the rishus of the yisaimim. Mecher is totally out, and mashkin is still in the ownership of the yisaimim. Someone else has schusim on it right now on the mashkin, but essentially it's there. So that chiluk would sound like that there's something more intrinsic as to why. You can't clap for Mishabdi. It'll be more like, you know, how Chazal set up this chayv. What's the power of this chayv? And you know, that might be the difference that this chayv taka doesn't have a shibud, the regular kind of shibud on it. You know, maybe have to know attack a why. Right? You know, so what gives us the idea that it shouldn't have a full shibud? Rabbi Yochanan, right? Maybe he holds that there is no full shibud. You know, why should that be? Where does that come from? But I could put him. But just, you know, in the mechanics of how it's working, it would seem to be that this sign in the Gemara that Chazal set up this choiv is taka different. Different than other chayvus, because the truth is that the chayv was not an established chayv by the father itself. Right? The chayv was first this chadish now b'misas ha'av. Not a simple chayv, and akoponim that's where it would come from. That this chayv works differently than other chayvus, that you don't have the regular koyach of shibud, the shibud that's chal on by other chayvus on the nechosim, that is shibud on the nechosim, doesn't necessarily present itself over here. And the schosim that the Baas has is only kozmat that the nechosim are related to the ben. And since mashkin, they still relate, it's still shaykh to the bottom, because they have the ikra ownership, so that's where the Gemara has that. This is as a makom lechalik, that over there they could be goyva. But once the yachas, the relationships in the chosim between the yisraimim and the chosim is broken, they sold it away, so they zichah don't have any chosim in it anymore. So then there's no schus to be goyva in it. There's no shibud on it if it's not still by the yisraimim. Yeah, I'm just giving. I'm not really explaining why that should be, but saying that that's what it will look like. It will look like that. This is a different different type of sheba than you have in other places. Okay. I am b'meforshim. I think in the Chaveres brings some different possibilities on this if you want to see. But this is a point that Taka, those who are looking for a little more, this is a point to think about. Okay, so that's more in the mechanics, right? There's always two things happening in more, right? You have the facts, the cheshbon, we call it, just the calculations, right? And then you have the mechanics, how things work. Why are things like that, right? The machlokes in the Gemara, what is the issue, right? Right? So that's another level, which after we get the Gemara clear, that should be the next thing that we work on, right? Why is this so? What's the issue? What's the question over here? Right? The truth is that in order to really work with the machlokes, you really have to know what the timing behind things are. Just getting out your calculator and pressing buttons is not really so safe. Yeah.
The way the Rebbe explained Tikkun HaOlam is because it's not there's no kitzvah to it, so that's why they had to do the Tikkun HaOlam. Right?
Okay.
Is that the two?
Right.
The way I understood it is that there was a issue of Tikkun HaOlam, let's say that it's in everybody's interest that the sons should be able to do business, right? They have to support the daughters. They right. If we tie their hands, they're not going to be able to do anything, right? And so that was the Tikkun HaOlam. And then when we wanted to be mechalek between parnasa as compared to mazonos. So there we said, well, no, but by Benzonas it's even more disruptive, right? Because there's Ein Bo Kitzvah, right?
So let me do here the first step. The first step, the Tikkun HaOlam was for the Yisraelim
it's in the world's interest to not interfere with this the Yisraelim doing business, right? The world, nobody would buy from a Yaslam if they know that there might be it might be confiscated through Mazonos, and possibly might be confiscated because of Parnassa, right?
Okay.
So in other words, we want to, right? So that's the Tikkun HaOlam.
So let me just hear that, because this is the point. Who are we? Tikkun HaOlam is for the benefit of the Yisraelim and the Mishpacha, or Tikkun HaOlam is for Lukuchos? Isn't that Mevur by Mezoinus? That's what it is. It's a Tikkun for Lukuchos, right? Those things that you can't clap from Mishabdi is to protect Lukuchos.
So can we say that it's for the Olam, it's for everybody? In other words, is that the system in general will work, right? In other words, it's in no one's interest if the Yisomim can't make sales, people won't end up buying. That's going to cause, it's not in the daughter's interest, it's not in the son's interest, it's not in the Lekuchel's interest, right?
So you're just adding that is also a factor. That it's the Simon's interest.
What I'm doing is that I'm taking the aspect of Ein Bo Kitzvah, right?
Right.
And saying that's only a svara of why we would be if we are mechalik between Parnasa and Mazonos. That's why we would be mechalik. Is that by the Mazonos, there's more of a reason that things would be in disarray were the Chachamim not to. Again, the default is that you have a chov and there's a shibud, right? The Chachamim are now interfering with the default for the betterment of the world,
Okay.
Right? And the question would, which would leave the question that if you're mechalik between Parnassa and Mazonos, why would they make it? Why would they fix one and not the other? And that's when we bring in the concept of kitzvah.
Tell me, let me just get to you over here. We want to know, why did they make a chiluk? Uh-huh. So you're starting that the root of Tikkun HaOlam doesn't start with kitzvah.
Right.
Tikkun HaOlam, but let's understand it. I mean, if you're not dealing with this, so then we have to say, why do we have to talk about Tikkun HaOlam? Why do we got to talk about Tikkun HaOlam is the reason why there's no shibud. There really should be a shibud, and the shibud would allow collection from lekuchos, right? Right. There really should be a shibud, right? So, what's the initial step over here? Why are we making these things different than any other chayiv? How does it start? What's the Tikkun HaOlam? You know, it's chayiv. Like all chayivs have shibudim. Fine, you know, let it be. So how would it start there? You know, I don't need Tikkun HaOlam to explain why there is a shibud. I need Tikkun HaOlam to explain why there's no shibud.
So, why is it?
I mean, you're saying that the Tikkun HaOlam should say there's no shibud for either Parnassa or Mazonos. Then they added back Parnassa because it's Geshlo Kitzvah.
Right. In other words, so it's not such a disrupting factor. But
So he's asking you, though, right. Parnassa is like any other chov. Any time a lekoach goes to buy something, he has to check if there's some shibud. So Parnassa is a shibud that's like any other shibud. So why would you need a Tikkun HaOlam? You hear?
Right, and there's that the unique. Right. You'd have to come. Right.
Okay, because you can work it out, but that's piece needs to be right. Needs to be explained. Right. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay, very clear. Okay. We know. You know what we need to work on. Then we can come up with the sword. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Now let's see. Zot Gimor. Zokt Gimor. On Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, the Gimor continues, and the Gimor says, "Iboil Rabbi Yochanan lo yishmia le yehod Rabbi, v'yishmia le have makabale." Zokt Gimor. The Gimor is wondering about this that Rabbi Yochanan that he's passing not like Rabbi. That's what he said. Now, is that because lo yishmia le yehod Rabbi? Because he didn't hear the Rabbi said differently. Vishmele have a makabale, but being that that's so if he would have heard, he would have accepted from Rebbe. He's not going to argue on Rebbe. Or Dil Mishmele v'loy makabale. Or no, he's aware that Rebbe said otherwise, and he's intentionally arguing with that shita. It would sound like from the Gemara that. You know, it will be better for us to understand that he's not arguing on Rebbe. Right? The Mepharshim seem to talk about whether he could argue on Rebbe, right? Whether Rabbi Yochanan could argue. Usually in Amora, you can't argue with a Tana. But Akoponim, but that definitely is the feeling in the Gemara over here that we'd rather say that he's not arguing, and therefore this that he said what he said was only because he wasn't aware that Rebbe said otherwise, and therefore, you know, if and when he will find out, or when he found out,
says that Rabbi Yochanan cannot argue with Rebbe, and when the Gemara says maybe he's cholik on him, maybe he has a different price that says different than Rebbe, and that's why he's cholik on Rebbe because he has a price that supports his position.
Right. So that's going with however the Gemara is going, but it seems to be apparent for the Gemara that we don't want to say that he's actually arguing intentionally, And that brings up this Sa'at HaDigmara. Even though he said it, but it's only because he didn't know that Rebbe said otherwise. Of course, when he'll find out, he'll be chayzer. So, leave them as he doesn't hold like that anymore. That's according to that side. Or else, no, he was aware of Shita's Rebbe, and nevertheless, he argued, right? Maybe according to Rajva, because, he has a backing to argue.
Maybe a ask on here. The discussion they're going to bring later, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, is that an actual discussion?
Actual, as opposed to...
Like they were literally talking to each other, or the Gemara is bringing a Shakla Vitaria that, this said it once, right? It sounded like it was an actual discussion, right?
It was an actual discussion.
Yeah, it sounds like.
So Rabbi Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva after Rebbe, right? I mean, maybe there was a 2-year brief.
I know the history, okay?
Okay, I thought Rabbi Chanina was essentially the one who took over. And he was a contemporary of Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Zana, the one who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. So, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan would have been, if he's talking to Rabbi Chanina, he wasn't yet the Gadol Ador to be paskening. So why would he be? That's a little hard for me to understand. You got here Rabbi Chanina, and I assume at least Rabbi Chanina is around, who would have been the Rosh Hashiva at the time. Why is Rabbi Yochanan paskening when you have Rabbi Chanina? Was he already? I don't know. It's a little hard for me to understand.
So your question is even out of the context of the Gemara over here, right? It would bother you, right? Just if we just would have had that. This memra that the Gemara brings, right? That's what you're wondering.
When he said this, it was before he heard, and then he spoke to Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina said, "Rabbi said this."
That's a possibility. That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out over here. What happened? Where were things standing at this point? Right.
But on that side, that he paskened. He said, "This is the halacha." Then he spoke to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, no, Rabbi said, not like you.
Right.
And he was, let's say, Makabal or not. Well, let's say he was Makabal at that point. But I guess it's just hard to understand why Rabbi Yochanan at that point in his life was paskening when you had Rabbi Chanina around there.
So even in that issue there, you want to know how he was arguing on Rabbi Chanina, a koponim, right, on at least in as far as the case that they're discussing, right, by Meis HaBen. In that case, so you want to know why was he arguing with Chanina? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a question out of right, not in that sugi itself. So let's see. So the Gemara by us, right? That's what our Gemara wants. We want to know whether this shit is Rebbe Yochanan. Is this Rebbe Yochanan's maskon over here, knowing that Rebbe said otherwise, he's still saying this, but it's only because he didn't hear Rebbe, and of course when he'll find out, or when he did find out, he was chayzer, right? Zoch de Gemara, Toshma de Itma, Mishemes v'nech de bonus, uben. A person's maize, he leaves over two daughters and a son. V'kodon Rishayim v'not le'isir nechosim. The first daughter, let's say, gets married, and she collects her Isur Nechosim, that's in the Dunya. So, Ispika Ashni Ligvas Achemes Aben. The second daughter didn't collect her Schus of Nedunya, and the Ben dies. The Ben dies. Now, the Gemara is going over here that the halacha is as far as Hilchas Yerusha is concerned, that the Nechosim now go over to the daughters?
To the sisters.
Okay. Okay.
The sisters are Yerush, the Ben that died.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll call them sisters. Right? Bonos. Bonos are sisters.
They're Yorish, they're brothers.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I was using the terminology of the Gemara, right? It's going to get a little confusing if we start changing the titles over here.
Okay, you're right.
Okay.
I apologize.
But, So they're Yashi now. So then, so they're splitting the Nechosim. And the issue over here is, whether the schus of Nedunya of Isnechosim is still applicable, right? And if that will be true, so that means that the second bas would first get her Isnechosim, and after that's done, then they'll split the remainder of the Nechosim. Right? Or no, that there is no schus of Isnechosim, and therefore they split the Nechosim as they are, and that's what it is. So Zolta Gemara, Omar Abyechinon, Shnia Vitra. The second one, Vitra, she loses, she gives up her right. Not necessarily willingly, but she loses her right. Let's see Rashi. What does Rashi say on this? So Rashi, Ad Shemes Haben, V'nofla Hayrusha Lefnei Habonis. Vitra, so Krashi Vitra, Isin Chosim, she's Mavater, her right to the Isin Chosim, Vlea Min and Titel Isin Chosim Tchila, Kimoshinat Luzu. We don't say that the second daughter should take her Isin Chosim like the first daughter did, Vachaka Chechleiku. And then after that, we'll split it, as far as Yerusha is concerned. Elo, Zu Shekod Mavinesis, Zochso. The first one that got married, and she collected at the time she had the right to collect, she was oichet to that. Ubas al habas ein lo isin echosim. And the second daughter, now it's a question, the son is not around anymore, and it's a question really of bas al habas. If the nechosim are essentially the Yerusha went to the bas, that's ein lo isin echosim. Shveishtein shoveis bi Yerusha. They're both equal. Both equal in Yerusha. Now it would seem like this: that what would be if there was no son, right, in the first place? Right, let's try to just get our basics.
Then it wouldn't make a difference.
What?
Then it wouldn't make a difference.
Then it wouldn't make a difference.
Because either they both would get Isur Nechasim or neither of them get Isur.
But are they Isur Nechasim the same amount?
Right.
The Isin Nechosim is not the same, right? Not same value, because the second one is going and getting the remainder, right? Right. So now that would seem like this is a given that Isin Nechosim bas min abas, there is no Isin Nechosim. So if there was no Ben in the first place, right, then there is no Isin Nechosim. This takon of Isin Nechosim was only said that when the bas doesn't have any din, any personal din to the monies, because the Yerusha went to the ben, that's where Chazal and Masakin that they get the Isin Nechosim, this the Dunya.
If the ben dies and he has a son, his son has to give the Isin Nechosim.
Okay.
We have that case. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that if there is a son, then the din of Isin Nechosim goes into effect, and even if the son dies, whoever is yorish the son is yorish that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. So that we understand. We understand that very well, right? Because the takon of Isin Nechosim is that being that the bonus don't get any Yerusha out of it, and they need the Nedunya for their marriage. So that's their schus to get. But when they themselves are yashing the chosin themselves, then there's no halacha of Isin Nechosim. Right? So if the son has a son, so, you know, nothing changes as far as that's concerned. Huh?
Why are they not yorish the responsibility of Isin Nechosim?
Why aren't who? The bas? Well, we didn't get there yet, right? We spoke about if there was no ben in the first place, right? We want to just, you know, work our way there. Okay, so we discussed that if there was never a ben, right? Okay, so that's clear. Now we're gonna come back.
Everyone agrees to that?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Do you agree that everyone agrees
that there's no Isur Nechosim when there's no son at all?
It's mashma that way in the Gemara.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's take that on until we have reason to say different. All right.
Isin or Chesed might be a chiyuv on the father. It might be from the father.
Let's say. So
if
what is
the father? Then it gets passed on to his children. So it gets passed on possibly to his daughter also.
Okay, when we get to that side of the Gemara, we'll talk about this.
Didn't we say not like that earlier?
What?
Because the father could say, "I don't want any of my nechassim to go." He doesn't really have a chiyuv.
Yes, that's what I mean. He's referring to the Gemara later on, which the Gemara does say such a thing like that, and then we'll have to see what that means, right? Because you're asking a good question, right? Right. So that's a chiddush to get side of the Gemara, which really needs explanation based on what you're being moyer. Right. So let's try to keep things simple over here without. Back making complicated calculations over here. Okay, so now we're going in that step further, which is what the Gemara now is discussing. Now, what about if at the time of the Misa there was a ban, and subsequently the ban died, and now presently the bonus yashin the nechosin. Right, that is the Gemara Shaila, I would think. What I mean to say is that I would think, and see if you agree with this, that the Gemara talks about when the first Bas collected her Isa Nechosim and the second daughter didn't. And she says, is that she loses out. First daughter got it, and second daughter didn't get it. I would think that the same, really, this. I don't think there's a difference whether the first daughter got it or didn't get it. I would think that the question over here is, and we'll discuss maybe what the lumness over here is, but. The shaila over here is that since at the time of the Misa there was a ben who yashin it, and therefore those chusim were applicable, and now subsequently later, now the son's not around anymore, and at the point of time when they want to use out this chusim for isi nechasim, they owned the nechasim. Right? So what I just said was that the case in the Gemara happens to be where the first daughter got her Isa Nechosim. But I would tell you that the Machlokes really, I don't think is dependent on whether that first daughter got her Isa Nechosim or not. I would think that the same question would be whether she didn't or not. Right? We could clear Shiloh.
Let's say the same case as one son, two daughters. The son died, but he had a daughter. Would his daughter inherit her or his sister's?
So you're asking Hilchas Yerusha? Question?
Well, I want to understand.
So what's the case again?
The father died, he left over one son, two daughters, and the son inherited everything. The daughters were supposed to get Yisun HaChasim, but then the son died. But he had one daughter.
So the daughter got Yerusha.
The son had a daughter.
So this is a Yerusha question, right? Is Hilchos Yerusha, who's Yashin?
Is the daughter Yerusha?
Yeah.
And the sisters get nothing. Well, so in that case, there'll be a regular Yisrael.
The sisters, right. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. The issue over here is only because, like we said, because they themselves have a Hilchos Yerusha in the money that the Yisrael is supposed to come from, and that's where there's no din iser. Now, but we're saying that
why is there no din iser even if they have a schus in the thing? If there's a chiyuv to give 10%, what's the difference if they're the owners or somebody else is the owner?
Now, are you questioning back in the case when there never was a son? You want to know that?
You said that in that case the chacham were not masakin is a nechasim. I don't know. I can't argue.
Okay, so in this case,
is it true when there's not when there's not, there was a son?
Yeah,
you were not mistaken in that case.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue on.
The question I'm asking now is that a new question or that's really?
If there was a son, so then the chiyuv went into the isur nechasim.
Okay, so that's what we're getting.
No,
that's what we're discussing right now. Right. This is what we're discussing. We're getting there. Okay, very good. Right. So the machlekes over here is we're at the time of the misa there was a son. So initially that din we call a chayiv, right, of isur nechasim was chal, and now subsequently things changed that the son's not around anymore. Right. Right. So, B'muskel Rishon, right, one might think that, listen, you know, isn't everything chal b'shas the Misa? Which might not be so poshut, but B'muskel Rishon, it would seem that, you know, that this chayv is chal b'shas the Misa. This is shine. So, whatever it was at the Shas the Misa, that's hukva. Right? So why should things change later? Now, Taka, this Hanocha, right? Last we bring the rise from the sugis before what we've seen till now, is it Taka true that the choiv and the schusim are brought into actuality at the time of the Misa? Like we saw before, right? That the schus to be gave really has to be totally in really whether they're ready to get married, right? They can't, you know, they'll say that, you know, I get my right, let me take it now and I'll use it for later, right? Like we saw in the Gemara before, right?
But they have a shibud.
What?
But they have a shibud from the time of the Misa.
Certain din amachal, right? But you see that it's not necessarily nishlam. Right? It's not completed their right to be goyver, right? So that already gives us also a pesach over here to understand why something later could possibly make an afkamina, right? And we're bringing a right just from one.
If she never gets married, then there's no isn't a chasim. It's not like she deserves 10% of the chasim. It's at the time of the marriage she gets it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Right.
What happens if the father died and he only had a son? He didn't have any daughters, but his wife was pregnant and there was a daughter born afterwards. Does she get Issa Nechasim?
Why would that make a difference?
Well, I guess his question is based on the fact that this chus of Issa Nechasim is chal b'shas the Misa. And she wasn't yet ba'olam at the time of the Misa. That's like where this question is coming from. What would you say? What would you say?
I mean,
what would be the isn't Yerusha Chal at the time? What? Sorry, what?
Mizonos.
Right, Mizonos, right. Right. I mean, the same thing. When you have a son, let's say she was pregnant with a son at the time, he for sure gets Yerusha, right? There's no question about whether the son who's in the womb gets Yerusha after when he's born. So your question is because the Chazal, because this is a Takana of Chazal, and maybe it was only on ones that are already born. Okay. And you're saying, but in Dichrin, right, that for Mizonos goes even on the unborn daughters, so why shouldn't it go also on
the same question,
this?
Right.
Proof for it, but
I hear the way you're saying.
Yeah. So, you know, so on the one hand, and I see where your question's coming from, you're asking really coming from the Lomdus over here, from the mechanics, that, you know, if that's when the time of the Chayv is Chal, so if someone's not around, you know, is she considered around, that you have to, you know about that, right? So that is the source of your question. The Olam's timing is Loi Shomanu. We don't find a chiluk in that. Right? So it would seem like the halach lemaisa is that even though she wasn't born, that's what it seemed to be. You want to know, you know, how the mechanics work? Okay, that's a lomdus shishayla. Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, so Nachama, so what we just did over here was that we showed that even though that the Shas Misa in the initial Chayiv is that time when it's Chal, but we see that the Schusim that the Bonas have are not completed at that time, right? Because they can't make the collection then, right? Right, it's takatoli in Chayis, in the Shas Nisuin, or whatever that point of time is.
Did you ever answer Michael's question about? I mean, his point is it based on the nechasim, the value at the time of the misa of the father, or is it based on the value when they're collecting their Eastern nechasim?
So I wasn't getting involved in that. That wasn't the topic over here. I was going to leave it to you to work it out. To work it out, yeah.
Okay. I don't remember an answer.
I didn't mean to make a decision on that. Right.
Yeah, that means he wants to be nice to one of us, maybe.
Which one?
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to hear the Sfar of War that should happen at the time, what the value was at the time of the Misa. I'm starting to hear your Sfar of War.
The Rav wants to be nice to both. He has to be nice to one.
And I have another question at some point. I don't know. We'll see if we...
Yeah, okay, we'll get there. Let's just see. So what we're just trying to give over here is like this, that being that the schosim are not nishlam, and it's the right to act on the schosim are not completed at the time of the misa, so that would be the mokum to think that maybe taka something, if at the time when the schosim are nishlam, situation changed, so that could be a reason why the the full schosim are not don't come into actuality, and that's why she could lose, even though she really was she was the shas miso, whatever it was chal, but being that the taka wasn't nishlam and the shas gvir, we'll call it, is b'shas nisuin, at that point already she has the nechosim, so there will be no schus gvi in it. Right? Maybe that's what it would be. See, this if we understand like that, so then this would explain the difference between the first daughter and the second daughter. Right? Meaning to say like this, is that the halacha is that the first daughter, Zocha, she keeps her Yisr Nechasim. The second daughter doesn't get the Yisr Nechasim according to Rabbi Yechina. Now, the basis of Rabbi Yechina's halacha is because of Bas Ben Habonis, right? Which means at the time that the second daughter makes her collection, she already has Yisr Nechasim.
She has the Yerusha.
Now, one could have possibly thought that the way it works is that it's basically like Nizvarer now that this is a situation of Bas Ben Habonis, the Chazal were not Misakin. Now, if that's right, basically, retroactively, right? That's how I understand it. Now, if you understand like that, then you have to understand then why is the first daughter different, right? If that's how it works, if it retroactively, right, works like that, so you could explain, right? But akoponim, but that's you need to explain that. But according to what we're saying now, it's easier because what we're saying now is that it's not a retroactive that it was nizbar that this was the Bas Ben Abbas digamisa. Right? No, the pshat is like this: is that since at the time of the nisuin, that's when her schus is completed. It advances to a schus to make the gvir. So, being that at that point it changed and it's a bas ben ha'mai, so that's what affects her. Nothing's retroactive.
We done it based on the time of the when it's going to be paid.
Right, exactly.
So at the time of the peace of the father, it was more in theory a 10%. It wasn't collectible. It wasn't lemaisa.
Right.
And now at the time when she's getting married, it's collectible. It's
Right. Exactly. So then you don't have to work about a mafreya. Right. That's what it'll be according to this explanation. That her schus needs to advance in order to make the collection, and it's not going to advance because by this time already it was a bas ben haba.
Wasn't there a shibud on the nechassim to pay iser nechassim to the nedunya? Isn't there like a shibud on the nechassim? Doesn't that shibud stay on? I mean,
but the shibud is not going to be better than the schus that the daughter herself has. Right? And as the shibud is a koyach that she has in following through her schus. So if her schus gviya never happened, so it's not again a shibud.
Let's say it's by a normal loan. Somebody on January 1st, 2023 lent money to somebody. And that money has to be paid January 1st, 2025. And in between, the guy sells land. Right? Now, the debt isn't due, let's say today he sells land. The debt isn't due until next year. But does he have a shibud? I assume he has a shibud on that land from the time he made the loan, right?
Yes.
Right? Even though he can't collect the loan until next year. Right? So maybe it's could it be kind of a similar thing? She's got a shibud from the time of the Misa, but the debt's not due yet. The debt, and if she never gets married, the debt never becomes due. And if the brother dies first, and now she gets the thing, so the Chachamim said, in that case, the debt never came due.
Right.
But in your example, the guy in 25, he can go and take back from the Lukuchus.
So if something happens before that, I don't know what could possibly happen. But you're right, because it's hard to understand what could possibly happen. But his entire family line dies, that there's nobody. Nobody to collect, period. Then that debt never becomes due.
If something happens to prevent it from coming due, it never came into effect.
Right. There was a shibud, but you can't do anything. They can't. I don't know.
What family died out?
What?
What family died? Totally died.
Well,
out?
I don't know. All of his uncles and da da da.
But who the
guy? The guy who loans the money. He died, and he had no children.
No, the
and
borrower.
He,
right,
no.
The borrower's relative died.
Because we don't care, right? Because we don't care if the lender, his family dies out. That doesn't make a difference. Someone owns that land, and the person can be taken from the person that.
Well, I was saying there's nobody to collect the debt because there's nobody to collect the debt.
That's the borrower is has to die out for no one to collect the debt.
No, I was saying that if the lender dies, then there's nobody to collect the debt. You owe to nobody.
What?
If a lender dies, then you owe money to nobody. There's nobody to collect the debt. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it works your way too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. You're right.
But it can only work if there's like a Gerish and a Zgayer and no Yorkshire.
Right, something
everyone,
like that. Oh,
everyone
there you
else
go.
In Klai's class.
Yeah, yeah, so
right,
let's go
yeah.
back to everyone else in Shir.
Yeah, okay, fine. So I think you finished this topic. Can I ask a question on this topic?
Finish this topic.
No,
am I
wrong? No. I mean, you explained this issue, right?
Okay. Yeah, so let me just see where we are over here.
We're just scratching the surface.
Well, I have a scratch to ask on.
hold that just one second. Let me just see where we are over here. Right, okay, we're explaining.
So let's say you've got a daughter and a son. The father dies. And now the daughter has a shibud on the nechassim, and the brother, right? So if she gets married, she's going to be able to get her Isur Nechassim. This brother sells all the land, spends all the money. Now, if she would go get married now, she could go back to the Lukuchos and get her Isur Nechassim, right?
According to Rebbe, fine.
Okay, so now let's say that now the son dies. Until now, she's Yorish nothing. Because there is nothing to be Yorish. Now she goes and gets married.
One second. He sold it out. So there's no nechosim here.
And he wasted the money.
Right.
He gambled it.
Right. There's nothing left. She's yashning. Nothing for her to yashin. Those nechosim. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you want to know whether she has the right to go to the Lukuchas for her Shibud?
Right.
It would have to be the last Lukuchas. If there's multiple Lukuchas,
it would
be the last one.
Okay, whatever. That's regardless. Now, let's see. So, in this case, what are the two tzedakim here? What are the two tzedakim of the Shaila? I mean, there's no Yerusha. There is no Yerusha. Right. Watching things, why should this be any different than every other case?
What's your tzedakah that she should not be able to collect?
Now, one second. She's... Yeah. Right. Why would you think she should not be able to collect?
Because she can't collect from herself. She can't go after herself. So the fact that there's a shibud doesn't help. Because she's not, just like we said that she can't collect from her sister.
Right.
The debt never comes due.
I mean, she can't collect from her sister is really because she has, right?
She has the
She has, right? She has the Yerusha. Over here, there's nothing, there's no has.
Right.
There's no has here.
It's the same thing with two sisters. We're asking the same, it doesn't really matter whether there are two sisters at this point or one sister. There's nothing there. So if there's nothing there, then she can get the Isser. If there is something there, then she can't go after the Isser. Is that how you want to say it?
That's what I would say. Zil Bosar time. If you follow the reasoning, right now, did you have a valid reason to say otherwise, or you just, you know, it's an interesting case, so you just, we were wondering what would be here, and now that we discuss it, we don't really have to start it.
Well, if the tzad is that there's no Isser Ben Abanos, lo plug. Because they just never made it that way, then she shouldn't be able to go after it. If we say the whole reason that the Chachamim said it is because now that she has a Yerusha, she doesn't need the Isser,
okay.
And they only gave her an Isser when she's going to get nothing, so then she should be able to go after it.
Okay, so maybe there's a lo plug over here. Okay, there's a lo plug, and it's not, today it's not dependent on the actual... the Chosim Yerusha.
Because if it was the dependent on the Chosim Yerusha, if she inherited $10, you're going to say that she doesn't get Isser Nechosim? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Right, so that's what I was just going to say, is that you have an impetus in Wilmar to your question.
She has enough Yerusha to be covered, right, that it's more than the Isser, and then she doesn't get the Isser. Where do we, what's the cutoff?
That's a good question. You know who contemplates this question? Oh. Tysus.
Oh, really? Right? Where?
Tysus wants to know, right? Tysus wants to know that, we work out the math exactly, but Tysus wants to know that if there are 10 daughters, if there
no
are
no sons?
What?
No sons?
Yeah, basically, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the Gemara before him.
No, but Tysus wants to know, basically what Tysus is saying is that, therefore, even in Yerusha, right, even in Yerusha, they're not getting... there is a nechosim, right? I think that's what Tesis wants to know. You see the second Tesis? Tesis is really going more a little bit later.
Mishavav Chabesa?
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yesh l'stap yechad ike eser bonus, lek rabach besa mahu. Right? That's what, it sounds like Tesis sounds
well,
like...
Well, you can ask the question better if there's 20 daughters.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what are they? What are the sudden that they're entertaining that she should get 10% because the Yerusha is a very small amount because there are 10 daughters, so she should therefore be able, the first daughter should be able to get 10% and then 10% of that, 10% of that,
well,
instead of splitting.
So you have to look at the math exactly, but I mean, it sounds like what Tosis is dining such a shaila that the whole reason why they weren't misakin is because, you know, you have money from Yerusha. Mm-hmm. But if the money from Yerusha puts her less than her Issa Nechasim, so then, you know, maybe things should change. So this might be, Taisis Esophag over here might be, right, your two Stalim over here. Mitzad Echad, you don't have the Ravach Beisel, Idech Issa, maybe today, you know, that's how there's a light plug here. That, you know, it was set up like this. Right? But I hear Taisis, to me it sounds like Taisis is mistopic in such a question over here. Right? That is it dependent on having that additional money that she has?
I guess what I'm confused with is, like, you said 20. To me, it seems like Tosfos should ask the question by 11 daughters.
Yeah. Okay.
Why is he asking by 10? 10 is equal.
So I thought what Tosfos meant.
No, I think what Tosfos meant. Because if the Easter
one,
of the
Easter of the Easter,
each
yeah.
one is from the remainder, then the 10 daughters will not get equal amounts, but if it's a Din Yerusha, they'll each get 10%.
No, but they're going to get more, they get
some
at least as much.
Some get less.
No, for if it's you do it Yerusha and split it 10% for everybody, everybody gets at least the amount of Issa Nechasim for 10 daughters, because they're all getting 10%. So the first daughter would have, you're saying because she would have gotten 10% plus her Yerusha. That's what you want to say? Okay, fine. I hear what you're saying. Okay.
So you get the 10%, but the first one's 10% is more than the last one's 10%.
Right.
Is talking about a case where any of the properties were sold off, or he's talking about without the Sheikhs to...
Yeah, I don't think he's going around. He's really going in the middle of that without being sold. Right, there might be a difference. Truth is, in Tosfos, we don't have time to go through the Gemara right now. But we'll see whether that Tosfos is a pshat with high Gemara over here. So let's just quickly speak through the Gemara. Let's just get through the Chesed in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is b'chay gavna vitra. On that, Zok Rabbi Chanina. So let's just get the words what he says and just where he's heading. Right?
The words Rabbi Yochanan Vitra doesn't mean that she's mavater; it means that she loses it.
Right.
It's not her. It's not.
It's not a voluntary.
Her.
Right.
It's not like, because normally Vitra sounds like she gives up her rights. This, we help her give up her rights.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what does forfeit mean? Is that the right word over here? Okay. But you're right. Whatever you're thinking, right? It's against her will. She loses. Let's see. So now, Reb Chanina says like this. Reb Chanina says in arguing with Reb Yechon and Reb Chanina that what you're saying is not right because. I see even there's a bigger chiddush, something even further than what we're dealing with. So Rabbi Chanina is arguing on Rabbi Yochanan based on the halacha of, which was in discussion before, whether you could be made from the kuchas. And what Rabbi Chanina is saying is, and he's setting up a kavachomer over here, right? And he's saying that we know, or I know, that the halacha is that the schus of the bas has such a strength that it could be mighty from the kuchas. If it could be mighty from the kuchas, then definitely her schus, in our case, the second daughter, should remain strong and she could still be mighty her issu nechasim. I'm not explaining it.
According to Rabbi Weinstein said beforehand,
yeah,
in a case where the daughters are yorish, there's no din... Nidunya. It's not a discussion. So what are you comparing it to Lekuchos? In a case where there was Lekuchos and it was sold, there is a Din Yerush of the Dunya, and it's a question who you collected the Dunya from, and that's it. But
okay, since we're not going to have enough time over here, but we have to explain the Shach V'Tayr of the Gemara, right? There is a Shach V'Tayr of the Gemara.
So Rav Chanina doesn't hold that far?
So that's what we need to explain over here, right? In the Gemara, but let's just at least set up the Gemara, and then you'll have to fill in, right? Yeah, the Gemara at this point, right, is saying that Reb Chanina is making a clear, right? The two halachas are dependent on each other, and he is saying that if the halacha is that she can be moitzi from the kuches, then definitely she could get her isur nechasim over here.
From her sister,
right? So the more that the Kav Chomer was making is that if you can be moitzi in the chosam, but they're not tachas the rishus, right? Ha'av
outside,
right? It's kol shekein from within, right? That's his Kav Chomer. Now on that, the Gemara is saying, Gemara is assuming that that's a sound clear. So on that, the Gemara is saying, was bringing Garaya as far as the Biyachin is concerned. Zok the Gemara. V'im Isa, Neimele Man Omro. Now the Gemara is bringing a raya, right? Let's see Rashi. Zok Rashi, Neimele Man Omro. Elalav Shmilei V'loy Kibla. The Gemara is bringing a raya that Rabbi Yechinen is a weir, and he doesn't agree, because if Rabbi Yochanan never meant to argue on Rebbe, so Rabbi Chanina is saying a halacha that he didn't think what was true, didn't think it was a question b'chalal, and now Rabbi Chanina says it's over. So you know he would find out about that was from Rebbe, and he would be chayzer, right? So from the fact that didn't happen, and Rabbi Yochanan is still arguing, must be that, you know, even if Rebbe said such a halacha, I still don't agree with it. So that means that this raya was all based on that the tliya that he's making is a sound tliya. That if you hold like that you turn from Mishabdi, then definitely over here, the second daughter should be able to get. If that's all agreed to, so the only way you could argue
still say my number, on the halacha, doesn't hold of the Kavachomer. Really? Who said Matzin was the Mamimi Shabbatim from the Kuchas? I mean, okay, first of all, I don't hold the Yakal Chomer, I hold that bonus is different, but second of all, I mean, Man Omer.
No, the Man Omer means to say over here, right, in this Gemara, is that he'll find that and he'll be Chozer. Right? That's what we mean.
He'll be Chozer Legabe, not Legabe, this conversation of Shnia Vitra, he'll be Chozer Legabe.
That's what he's saying. This Gemara holds, at this point we hold, that it's a sound tliya. No one's going to argue on the tliya. So if the only reason Rabbi Yochanan holds of that vitra is only because he's going with the assumption that you can't be tired from Mishabdi. So if he doesn't want to argue on Rebbe, and Rabbi Chanina is telling him this halacha, which is a Rebbe-based halacha, now that we found out the history over here, right? Right? So then he will be chayzer.
Right. So either Rabbi Yochanan holds of both his halachas, or he holds of neither of his halachas.
Right. That's how the Gemara is going. That's good for the Shach Tayr of the Gemara over here. Gemara Metchila held that it's a sound tliya, and being that the tliya is a proper tliya, then you know if you hold of one, you got to hold of the second. So if Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, it's only because he's arguing on this halacha, this gedolim mizu, right? So that's what Gemara is saying. If he's holding his ground, that means that you know even though he knows that it's
not shaykh that. He would say, Man Umbra, I never heard this halacha, but even if there is such a halacha, I don't think that one is Tali Zebazah.
But I mean, the Man Umbra, I don't think is so much the fact, just, you know, that's the initial response.
I thought the word Man Umbra is the proof that he must have heard of Rabbi's halacha.
No, not necessarily. The Man Umbra, really what more means to say, in the context of the Man Umbra is that that's something that I didn't know about. Right?
And if I would have known that, I would have changed my position.
Right.
Not just Legabe,
not just questioning,
from Lukas, but even collecting from the sister.
Yeah, because they're dependent on each other, right? Mm-hmm.
If you hold the Kavachomer.
Yeah. Again, the premise of the Gemara right now at this point, this Gemara is bringing the Raya, is because the Gemara is assuming that you can't argue on the Tliya. Right? So that's why the Gemara is bringing the Raya to that initial halacha, of the Doel Mizu. That's what the Gemara answers, right? Like you're thinking, that who says that, maybe La'olam, he would agree with that. And he was chayzer already at this point, right? But what he means to say is that one's not totally in the other. Right? That's what he means to say. Zakti Gemara, lo'elam lo yishmi'ele, v'chi shomale kobel, he's makabel, v'shani hosan. And he found Rabna, he's already, incorporated his shulchan aruch, that halacha. He's still saying what he's saying. V'shani hosan, di'ik rav chabeiso, right? This chiluk over here, right? Because of rav chabeiso, that's why loitiknu. So it doesn't have to do so much with the power yuschus to be moiti. Granted that when her schus is functioning, it's a strong schus to be moiti from lukulches. But over here, that then when it's rav chabeisa, it's more mitzmisara loitiknu, right? And then of course we have to go back and how did the Gemara understand initially, right? That the Gemara didn't hold of this chiluk. Had more understand, also Meichel and Shita. Okay, but looks like we ran out a little bit of time. Alright, so.
Kibo means that he would be changing his position. Rabbi Yochanan would be Choser and say that you can collect Nadunya from the Kukos. That's what Kibo means?
Mm-hmm.
The Shamalai Kibo, he would.
Yeah.
But he still wouldn't be Choser Legabe when there was two daughters and a son, and the son died. In that case, he still would say Shnei Vitrim.
Right.
The goal is that one is not Tali Zebuzet.
Exactly, right. Right. That's the
shot. Because she's getting all this.
Right, because of Rebbe Lebeisa. But before Rebbe Lebeisa, he was holding that there's Tali Zebuzet.
But he still should have reacted and said, oh, really? Rebbe, who said that? He still should have said my number. Oh, Rebbe said that. Okay, I'm going to be choizer. Let me be choizer. My halacha balakuchas. Okay, I still hold shnei vitra, but still, he should have reacted man amr, and he should have.
No, maybe there were three times. There was a time when he said what he said. Then he heard what Rebbe said, and he was choizer. Then he had the discussion with Rebbe Chanina. So by the time he had the discussion with Rebbe Chanina, he was makabel already. He didn't have to say man amr or oh, Rebbe said this, because he already knew. Now he's hearing the raya, and he's saying,
according to the Padimura, that.
Oh, I thought this was the first time you heard Rebbe's halacha.
It's a possibility. We don't know. I'm just saying.
I thought that means he didn't hear about it till Rabbi Chanina told it then.
No. Meshpili definitely means then.
When he first said his
That was the Moran Shaila. Right, so the, over here, right, you definitely can learn that at this point he heard already, and
he
changed his mind,
and he already was choiz about the chumas, but he doesn't hold of the kal v'chomer.
Right.
So it's not a raya that he heard about it and was cholik on Rebbe.
Right. Exactly. Right.
It's not a raya the other way either, though. It's a dilma. Dilma, it's not a raya. We don't have a raya. it's still possible that he heard of Rebbe and he was close and he was not the Kabbalah.
Right.
It's only a Dilma.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a raya either way.
Right.
We don't know that Rebbe Yochanan would have been closer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He could have been arguing on Rebbe, although it's the problem with the Rosh.
If you look in the Rosh, The Rosh wants the passing like Rabbi Yochanan based on this.
By the Banos, after the son dies?
Yeah. Right, based on this.
In the case of the Banos or by the Kuchos? Where does the Rosh want to pass like Rabbi Yochanan?
I mean, does he say that they can't take from Lukuchos at all, like Rabbi Yochanan the first?
By bonus. By bonus. Basically, what he's saying is that the Rosh initially understands that this is really Maskonos HaGemara.
Because of Rebbe Achbeisa.
Yeah.
So, and therefore the kavuchomer is not a good kavuchomer. But what does the Rush say about can the nizuni be collected from the kuchos?
That I don't think so. That, I mean, that you don't pass on Rabbi Yochanan.
Or Rabbi Yochanan was chosen.
Right. Or
Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, yeah, okay, right. That's the Rabbi Yochanan's chosen.
But I think this. I think the Rambam paskins the other way.
The Rosh says this in the learning of the Gemara. That's the Rosh says. That's how he would learn.
The Rosh learned in the Gemara that this Dilma is not a Dilma.
Right.
This is the Pshat.
Right.
The Pshat is Rabbi Yochanan originally did not hear.
Right. The Rosh says
when he heard he was Mekabel, but still the two daughters is not a Kabbalah.
Right. So before you leave, right? But Maskon the Rosh is not like that. Maskon said the Rosh brings Yerushalmi. That's me who are not like that. And if he says,
what does Rishami say?
The Rishami says that the halacha is like Rab Chanina.
That the daughters can, that the second daughter gets from the first daughter.
The Nedunya.
Yeah.
The Nedunya, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
Right?
So maybe that's why the Rambam.
So because of that, so what I just was just telling you that in the reading of the Gemara, it looked like that the Rosh learned it, that when these Amram were saying it, it wasn't just to end for that side,
but it was
how they understood.
They were saying that as pshat.
Right. As a result of the Shami, he says, we'll have to say that that's all they were doing, not just to end for it, but not because they actually held like that.
Right.
So that's how he ends up with Dilma.
Yeah.